Okay, good morning everybody. Boker Tov and Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashim class learning. We are exactly 2 weeks away from the Yom HaDin. Be'ezrat Hashem, right? Is that correct? I think so, yeah. Okay. Is that right? Oh wow, this is our last class for Rosh Hashanah. Yes, we're exactly 2 weeks away from the Yom HaDin. Okay. So we are learning a Zechon Le'iloi Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon, Benyol V'chana Lavashon, may the Neshama merit a continuous Aliyah and Zechira Latova, and the Zchus of these Divrei Torah. And is a Zchus for Bracha V'gal Basrachel Gita, Besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael, with your generous permission for our Refuah Shleima. And is Zchus Aliyah Neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya Lavashon, may the Neshama ben Aliyah, and the Zchus of the Divrei Torah. I'm just going to say something interesting because of the Aliyah Neshama. It's our last class before the Yom HaDin. And Rabbi Salvechik brings down, it's in the Machzor of Rav Salvechik. Well, the Machzor, it's the Art Scroll / OU Press Machzor, standard text that many of us are used to, commentary on Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal. So he comments that we say that the Sefer HaChaim and the Sefer HaMavis Pesuch and the Fanav, the Book of the Living and the Book of the Dead, are open before him. And on the Yom HaDin, it is decided who will go into which book. That is what Hashem shall be inscribed and sealed in the Sefer HaChaim Iman Chalokim Chaim. Rabbi Salvechik brings down a different pshat, and he says that the Sefer HaChaim, those who are living in Olam Hazah, are judged. And Sefer HaMavis, those who have moved on to the next world, are also judged every year on Rosh Hashanah. What are they judged by? They're judged by the actions of their descendants and the legacy that they live here. The legacy that they left here and the actions of their descendants. So the Sefer HaMavis, they are judged every year. It's something very impactful to keep in mind when we think of our ancestors, if it's parents or grandparents, Aleihem Shalom, that they too have a judgment on Yom HaDin. It depends on our actions. So I think that it's just very, very meaningful, because it is the family of Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav Chana Alav Hashem who dedicates and sponsors this shiur every class, every single class, as a zchus for his Aliyah Neshama. So it's a tremendous zchus for the Aliyah Neshama as we stand poised before the Yom HaDin, and should bring Besoros Tovos Aliyos to his Neshama, and he should be a Melitz Yosha for his whole family for Besoros Tovos and Simchas and Nachos and good health in the coming year. Let us go to the Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. Yubara Sha'olam, Yirasa V'fanech Al Racham V'chanan, Shetizikeni Haim V'cholim Lishmar Piu L'shoni Milashen Har U'chilis, Ezaram L'dabar Afil Al Yishyachi V'kol Shkena Kaiso Ol Chelek Mehem, Kol Shken Misraim Amidosef Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ezaram L'dabar Devei Sheker, Chanufa, Achlokes, Ka'as, Gaiva, Ona Astvarim, Albanas Panim Leitzanus, V'chol Dibur Asur, Zakini Shlo the Dabar Kim Davar Hatzrich, Linani Gufi Vinafshi, Vilkal Masaiva Dibuai, the Shame Shemaim, Amen Vamein. So I have a lot of learning, a lot to prepare, a lot that I did prepare, a lot to it. I'm just going to make a Shahakol Barachata, Donai, the Hinu Melech, Olam Shahakol, the Hiyavitvah. Before we get to the main part that I want to discuss today and learn, I should say, I want to relate two things. One, someone who learns with us in this Chabura, told me something very impactful, and she said that someone shared with her good news, Besoros Tovos. But we know that sometimes Lashon Hara is even repeating something good, because if you anticipate that if you say something good about somebody else and the response might be negative, it's also to say that. Mamish, this is a true story. Someone who is part of this Chabura told me that she was given good news and she wanted to post it on her family chat. And she anticipated and realized that if she posted it on the family chat, it could lead to negative comments. And because of this shiur, she did not post it. It's gevaldik. It's such a chizuk. It's unbelievable. She mamish did not post it because of this shiur. So she said to me, what should I do? Because I do want to tell the family. It's Besoros Tovos. So I said, you should tell each person in the family individually. This way, it's not in a group setting where people, one person could comment negatively, perhaps, and everyone will feed off each other. I'm not giving any details. But this way, if you tell everybody individually, it's less of a chance of escalating into a conversation that should not happen. It's not in a group setting. It's not. And that's, I think that's what she did. I don't know, she didn't follow up with me. But the fact that she held back from not posting on the family chat because of this shir is such a schus, it's unbelievable. The next thing I want to do is just begin briefly. We've spoken about it before and we learned the Ramban in depth. We're not doing the same thing that we did. I prepared a new shir, but I want to screen share with you because this past week's parsha we had the mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam. Okay, so I'm going to screen share. 1 second, I prepared it here. Oh no, 1 second. I don't want to spend too long on this, but I just want to add a couple of tuvardlich on this topic that I heard from Rabbi Zev Lef. Here we go. Okay, could you see I'm in Devarim Perachof Dalet? Yeah, okay. So we just had this in the parasha, Parshas Ki Seitzei. So the pasuk tells us in Devarim Chav Dala, pasuk tes, Zachor Eis Asher Asa Hashem Alkecha Lemirim B'darach B'tzeis Mitzrayim. It's a positive biblical mitzvah asei to remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam on the way when leaving Egypt. So we all know what happened. What happened was in Bamidbar Perek Yedbeis. You could see that I went to Bamidbar Perek Yedbeis. Yes. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe to their brother Aaron, and she was stricken with tzara'as, and Moshe had to daven for Aaron, being the Kohen, could not treat the tzara'as because he was no gay, but davar, the pun is a little bit intended. He was her brother, and so since he was no gay, but davar, there was no other Kohen around at that time, he couldn't treat her, so he says to Moshe, what should we do? You have to daven for her to treat her, l'mal menateva, the Kohen can't treat her, Moshe daven. She's closed off, she's put into her ice. So Miriam was closed off outside of the camp for 7 days. And the nation did not travel until Miriam was gathered. You have to wait 1 second, I'm sorry. Sorry, I need to turn on the extra AC. Okay, and I should just remember before I start share that often happens once I start, I realize. Okay, Miriam was closed out outside the camp for 7 days and the people didn't travel, she was gathered in. So while she says, here, look at Rashi in this part of the screen, so Zeha covered, Chalak Bohamakum, this is an honor that Hashem gave her, Bishfil Shah Achasha Nisak Velamoshe Kishahushlech Leyar. Because she waited for 1 hour for Moshe when he was cast into the river. Shenamar, like the pasuk says, "Vateisatzev achosa merchok l'adam ma'yaselo." His sister stood from afar to know what would happen. That's when his mother put baby Moshe in the basket in the Nilus River. Abbas Paro comes and Miriam stands to see what would happen. And then she says, "Shaifeshu a wet nurse from the Hebrews." For that hour that she waited for Moshe to see what would happen, chalak lo hamakum kavod. Hashem gave her this kavod, and the whole nation waited for her. Okay, so two nekudas from Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita on this mitzvah asay. First of all, Rabbi Lef points out, I went back to 24:9 here, you should see on my screen, Zachor Eis Asher Asa Hashem Alkecha Lemirim B'derech B'tzeis Chamim Mitzrayim. So number one, Rabbi Zev Lef says, which is a question that we have thought of before and asked before, isn't it Lashon Hara to be talking about Miriam? Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, okay? Al odus ha-kushis asher lakach ki isha kushis lakach. Whatever exactly Lashon Hara was, different mefarshim have different interpretations. L'maisa, she said something she should not have said. So how does speaking about her, how are we going to remember it? So you got to talk about it. You have to remember. You have to learn from Miriam. Read the psukim. The Torah records it for posterity. Everyone knows she spoke Lashon Hara. Not only did she do it in Parshas Baalozcha, but in Devarim, it's a mitzvah asei del reisa. It's one of the Sheish Zechiros. So isn't it Lashon Hara to be speaking about Miriam? Yeah, she made a sin. She made a mistake in speaking Lashon Hara. But now we're for generations, ad, speaking about Miriam. So Rabbi Zev Lef pointed out, it doesn't say remember what Miriam did. It says, the Pasuk records, Zachar is Asher Asa Hashem Elokecha. There's a difference. It doesn't say Zachar is Asher Asa Miriam Lemosha. The pasuk tells us, "Zachor es asher asa Hashem Elokecha l'Miriam b'derech b'tzeis Mitzrayim." Remember what Hashem did. The zechira is on what the Ribono Shel Olam did to Miriam as a consequence of her sin. So that's a very different focus. The focus is on the punishment that befalls a person who speaks Lashon Hara, not so much the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke. And I just thought that this was such an interesting perspective and something that I never really focused on before. What is the Zechira? Remember Hashem. Remember what Hashem did. It doesn't say go sit down and talk. Now, the Torah records what Miriam did, and it's not a vira to talk about her, and it's a mitzvah to learn the psukim and the mafarshim, and to remember she spoke Lashon Hara, but the real Zechira is remember what Hashem did, not remember what Miriam did. So that's one very, very interesting idea. The other point that Rabbi Zevlev said, which is a Gaval de Kasha, is on this Rashi. Zeha kavod chalak lahamakom. I went back to Baha'alos, Chaperik Yerbeis Bamidbar. Zeha kavod chalak lahamakom. This is a great kavod that Hashem did for her because she waited for 1 hour by the Yaar, by the Nilus River, so that, like her sister stood from afar to see what would be done. The whole nation waited for her. Okay. Rabbi Zevlev points out something very, very interesting. He says, let me say it like this. Who knew that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara? Aaron, Miriam, Moshe, Hashem. Okay, we're talking about 2.5 million people as a nation. It's a kavod that everyone waited for her. They had to make a proclamation and an announcement. We have to wait for Miriam. She spoke Lashon Hara, Badad Yeshev, so she's in Bidut now. We're not going to travel. She has Tzara'as. They blew the Chatzot roads. Miriam has Tzara'as. What's going on? Nobody knew. It was a private affair. Two brothers, one sister, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Fine, you want to say her husband knew because she was sent outside the camp, but nobody else knew. It's a geval de kasha. What's the schus, he says? What's the schus to Miriam? It's an embarrassment. It's a gnai. It's a kavod. It's a schus that everyone waited. They only waited because everyone knew. There was Lashon Hara being spoken about Miriam. That Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. Keep it private. Don't tell anybody. Send her outside the camp for 7 days. No one's going to know. Whatever, she's not feeling well, whatever, she won't be there. So Rabbi Zevlev says, what's the schus for her? And what's the kavod for her? If we desist from speaking Lashon Hara because of Zechiras Miriam, that brings tremendous kavod and schus to her. If her mistake, if her Lashon Hara compels us to hold back, to not post it on the family chat, to understand the repercussions of our words, to take it very seriously, to think before we speak, that's the zchus for her. That's the kavod for her. That in her merit, in her zchus, for her kavod, I withheld from speaking Lashon Hara, that brings a tremendous zchus and a tremendous kavod to Miriam Hanaviyah. So it's not just to remember her. Everyone could read the psukim and go around and say Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. Everyone could say, oh, she was closed off for 7 days. It's to compel us to change, to learn from her mistake, to help us to be better. That's a kavod, and that is a zchus. Okay, so those are two ideas from Rabbi Zevlev. That's on last week's parsha, but it is something, Shmir Salash, and that affects our speech or language every single day. So I thought that that was very, very impactful. Now I want to go to remind us, we learned this already, because we went through, if you remember, the Dapim, Imasachas Arachim, we went through from Tezvav through Tezayin in depth over the period of a couple of months. We only meet every other week. So over a period of a couple of months, we learn these Dapim Death, where they speak with the Sugya of Lashon Hara. But there are seven reasons that negayim b'ayim. Okay, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. You can see on my screen, we went to Maseches Arachin. Now we're in Arachin Tazayin Amar Aleph. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're just reminding ourselves of something we've learned already. Al Shiva Dvarim negayim b'ayim. For seven sins, for seven reasons, the affliction of Taraz comes. Al Lashon Hara, the primary one is Lashon Hara. Va'al Shvichus Damim. Now the Gemara is also going to teach us that Lashon Hara is a form of Shvichus Damim. And even worse than Shvichus Damim, in a sense, if you will, you kill the person while they're alive. You bring shame to the person. You could destroy a person's entire life. Val Shvua Shav, an oath for no purpose. Val Gilei Arayos, and uncovering nakedness. Val Gasus Aruach, haughty spirit. Val HaGazel, stealing. Val Tzaris Ha'ayim, and a stingy eye. These are the seven reasons that Negayim b'ayim. So again, for a slanderous speech, for bloodshed, and there is a form of metaphysical bloodshed when you murder a person without physically killing them through your words, and an oath, a purposeless, an oath that you did not fulfill, and uncovering nakedness, which is sexual immorality, and haughty spirit, and stealing, and stingy eye. What we are going to do now is go actually into the machzor. Can you see that now? I'm in the machzor. Okay, very good. So what you have here in front of us, the machzor, is the alchitz. Okay, it is very apropos that this is our final class before Yom HaDin, but we, I believe, still have one before Yom Kippur, which is good because this might take me two classes. I don't know. This is the confession, the vidui that we will recite with our lips on Yom HaKippurim 10 times from Mincha before the Sudam Mesekas all the way through the closing of the day. What is fascinating to consider is how many of the achets, the sins we have sinned before you, deal with sins of speech. We are going to be going through the relevant ones, and you'll see how many are relevant specifically to Inyanei Shmiras HaLashon with commentary of Pathway to Prayer, Rabbi Meir Birnbaum, and the Art School Machzor commentary in the back of the Machzor. I must thank Mrs. Shoshana Lawrence because she listened to the Shir online and she reached out to me and she pointed out, she just sent me a picture of one Achit and it relates exactly to what we said in last time's class when we get up to Altayo. She said, this is exactly what we spoke about in class. It was body language, that through body language we can convey Lashon Hara. And one of the interpretations of the Achay is, in fact, through winking and body language, you can speak a whole sentence of Lashon Hara without ever saying a word. And the fact that she sent it to me compelled me to look further into this, to sit down with these forum and go through them and go through the Achay's relevant to this class and see how important it is for us to understand what we are confessing for, why we are confessing, and how many of these confessions have to do with not only sins of speech, but also the seven sins that lead to tzaras, because they are all based on imperfections in our personality that lead to defects in our speech. So let's go back to the machzor here, okay? I marked off the ones that I want to tell you. So really, we could go through all of them, but we simply do not have time, okay? So here we go. The fourth one is Va'achet shechatana lefanecha bevitui sifasayim. The translation is, for the sins we have sinned before you with speech lacking proper contemplation. With speech lacking prop, don't worry about the translation on the screen. I'm just putting that there so you can follow along with me, okay? With speech lacking proper contemplation, like making vows or promising to do something that we subsequently regret. Bevitui sifasayim. The Art School Machzor interpretation says, we have uttered vows and oaths. And although the sages teach us it is best to avoid such utterances, even if they will be kept, we have done so nonetheless. We have expressed ourselves harshly against our fellow, hurting or shaming them. And when we were dissatisfied with events, we complained against God. This is all the interpretation of Bivitui Sifasayim. We have sinned because of hasty promises. We have made promises we cannot possibly keep. We have made rash statements and then felt compelled to justify them or act upon them. In the safer pathways to prayer, furthermore, oh no, this one doesn't have, so that is from the Art School Machzor. So again, this idea that we have made oaths that we cannot possibly keep. We have made oaths even though it's better not to. We have expressed ourselves harshly against our fellow. We have hurt or shamed others, and we have even questioned God when events do not make sense to us. Going on, again, I am skipping, okay? So in between Bivitus Vasaim, we also have Begali Vasaisar, openly and secretly. By the way, that could totally be connected to Lashon Hara, because sometimes we speak out in public, but sometimes we speak in secret. We think nobody sees us, nobody will hear us. That is a sin of speech in secret. Don't forget, we saw an erech in Tazayin just a minute ago that Gilui Arayos is one of the causes of tzaras. Alchei shechatanu fenecha bedibur peh. For sins we have sinned before you with our speech. So, pathways to prayer. For the sins we have sinned before you by speaking too much. We know that Chazal tells in Perkei Avos, kol hamar bedvarim mevi chet, which inevitably causes sin. And all of the sins of the mouth, including expressing a grudge. Pathways to Prayer teaches, Rabbeinu Yona in Sha'arei Teshuvah points out, we can get an idea of how severe, listen carefully, how severe are sins of the mouth by contemplating the punishment for cursing one's parents is greater than the punishment for hitting them. The punishment for cursing one's parents is greater than the punishment for hitting them. Exclamation mark. The Vilna Gaon in a famous letter wrote, "The sins of the tongue are greater than anything, for the punishment of a terrible part of Gehenim called Kaf Hakela." This terrible part of Gehenim is just for the sin of idle talk. "And for every speech, one is flung from one end of the world to the other." And that is only for extra words, said the Vilna Gaon. He still continued with his letter. "But for forbidden speech, such as Lashon Hara, or Leitzanos, gossip and scoffing, for false oaths and vows, the one right before this was Bivitui Sifasayim, for arguments and curses, especially in a synagogue on Shabbos or on the festivals." We are about to spend on tremendous amount of time over the next month, Be'ezor Hashem, in Beis Knesses. "We have to be especially careful," says the Vilna Gaon, "especially in a synagogue on Shabbos and on the festivals, one must go to an exceedingly deep pit. It is impossible to imagine the great tribulations one will suffer for just one word." That's Vilna Gaon. We are on a Chicha Chatam Fenecha B'dibur Peh. I'm going to quote it again. The Vilna Gaon wrote, I'm going to try not to interrupt him, "The sins of the tongue are greater than anything. For the punishment of a terrible part of Gehenim, which is called Kaf HaKela, is just for the sin of idle talk." That means just for speaking for no reason. "And for every speech, one is flung from one end of the world to the other. And that is only for extra words. But for forbidden speech, such as Lashon Hara and Leitzanos, false oaths and vows, arguments and curses, especially in a synagogue on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on the festivals, one will go to an exceedingly deep pit. And it is impossible to imagine the great tribulations that one will suffer for just one word." An amazing account. That's the end of the excerpt from the Vilna Gaon's letter. An amazing account of what happens in the next world is printed in the introduction to Kochvei Or by Rav Itzela Peterberger. He died in Yerushalayim on 11th of 5667, which was July 1907. On the following Shabbos, Rav Itzela Peterberger appeared in a dream to his friend Rav Chaim Berlin, who asked him how he fared in his judgment in the next world. Rav Itzela answered, "The judgment in heaven is very stringent, so much so no one can imagine it at all, and there is an especially great strictness concerning forbidden words." That is recorded in the Sefer Kochvei Or, and it's highlighted in this Sefer. "There is an especially great strictness concerning forbidden words." What makes this idea, this dream, this appearance of Rav Itzela Peterberg so amazing is that every year during the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom HaKippurim, it was Rav Itzela's practice not to speak at all, except for Torah and Tefillah, and yet he still bemoaned the severe judgment of forbidden words. So that is on the sin B'dibur Peh. Furthermore, the Arskor Machzor tells us, "We have caused sin by expressing ourselves too forcefully, thus hurting others or provoking others to ka'as, to anger," which is also forbidden. The term dibur connotes harsh speech. This also includes all abuse of the divine gift of intelligent speech, such as dibur peh includes vulgar speech, lying, sheker, speaking improperly in the synagogue, which is reflected from the Vilna Gaon's letter, violating confidence, and discussing business affairs on Shabbos. That is all under the Achet of Dibur Peh. Now we move on. The very next one. 1 second. This is out of order. Okay, it's a little bit out of order on the screen. I'm just using it so you could see and follow along with me, okay? In my machzor, the next one that comes is V'achet shechatam fenecha b'honas reya. And this means, "For sins we have sinned before you by causing our friend pain with hurtful words or financial dishonesty." The Sefer Pathway to Prayers teaches us that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Metzia, paining someone with words, such as insulting or embarrassing him, is worse than hurting him financially or cheating him. Furthermore, if one embarrasses his friend in public, it is tantamount to murdering him. And the Gemara says there in Bava Metzia, he has no share in the world to come. So when I told you, Maseches Erechin, that one of the causes of Tzara'as, the first is Lashon Hara, the second is Al Shvichus Damim. In this context, we could understand that Shvichus Damim here perhaps refers to metaphysical murder through words, which once again ties back to the sins of speech. Going back to the Machzor, V'achit Shechatan V'necha Bahonais Reya, this includes paining someone with words, which is worse than financially cheating them, embarrassing your friend in public, which is akin to murder. And furthermore, the Gemara says that one who does this has no share in the world to come. The Art School Machzor tells us we have cheated and hurt the feelings of our fellow human beings. Friends are easy to deceive because they trust us. Thus, taking advantage of our friends is especially wrong. Then we go on the next Al-Khayr in my Machzor here is, okay, there's Har Hor Halev, which comes, Vidyas, one second, where am I after? I just have to, because it's out of order. Okay, here we go. Al-Khayr Shechatanu Fanecha Bividui Peh. I think it has to do if it's art school, not art school, I think it has to do with it's Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Sfard. I think that's why the order might be different. I just looked this one up so I can put it on the screen for you. This happens to be, it says Nusach Ashkenaz, I'm not sure. Lamaisa, we're doing these chaits, and the screen is for reference, so you know where we are up to. What is this sin? For the sins we have sinned before you with confession, so that sounds like it's good. Vidui, which these al-chaits form part of, and you see how many of them have to do with sins of speech, is the final stage of teshuva according to the Rambam. In Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam delineates the stages of teshuva. The stages of teshuva are harata al-ha'avar, regret the past, azivat ha'chait, then you must leave the sin, then you must have Kabbalah Allah Asid, resolve never to do it again, and finally Vidui, which is oral confession. Sins ben Adam Mechaveru, you also have to ask Mechila. But the highest and most complete stage is Vidui, is confession. So what is wrong with Achit Shechatanu Fenecha Bividui Peh? Aren't we supposed to all be confessing? Aren't we in the middle of confessing while we're in the middle of saying Achit Shechatanu Fenecha Bividui Peh? For sins of confession of the lips, what are we talking about here? So, confession said with our mouth only and not with sincere regret. What I will call, quote, lip service. It is confession, not with commitment not to sin again. It's merely reading the words without knowing what we're saying, without understanding what we're saying, without having any feeling for what we're saying. Pathway to Prayers teaches, quoting the Sefer, Or Yahel, how foolish are people who say many long confessions while their hearts are not with them. And this is a very long confession. It's very important, obviously, for us to know what we are saying and to understand that. Otherwise, while we're saying the confession, we're guilty of bevidui peh. Well, you might be saying the confession of guilty of the sin while you're clapping an achi from it if we don't know what we're confessing for. They do not realize, not only do they not appease God by saying such confessions, but they add another sin to their account. As we say in the stanza, how disgraceful is it that this line of confession is said only with their mouth? So while we are saying the vidu, we may even actually be guilty of the sin if we do not think while we are speaking. Bividui peh. Art School Machzor says in the back of the Art School Machzor, it has the confession stanzas elucidated, shorter than Pathways to Prayer, but it adds to us. We confess our sin and beat our breasts, but we have no sincere desire to change. We make resolutions that do not come from the heart, merely from the lips. We confess our sins with an outward display of feeling, but a lack of inward sincerity. We should not be clapping our chest. So what will the person next to me think and the person behind me? And how do I look when I'm bent over in my confessions about me and the Ribbono Shel Olam? And you may even be over on this confession, this stanza, this al-chay, while you're doing the al-chay, bevidui peh. So far we have gone through numerous ones that touch upon the power of speech. I'm not going to try and find them in order of the screen. It's too confusing. We began with al-chay chichatan v'necha bevitui sifasayim. Then we went to Achit Shechatanu Fenecha B'dibur Peh. Then Achit Shechatanu Fenecha B'honas Reya. And now we just finished with Achit Shechatanu Fenecha B'vidui Peh. Going on. V'Achit Shechatanu Fenecha B'zilzul Horim Umborim. I thought it was very interesting. It's like mocking or scoffing. How is it translated by pathways to prayer? The sins we have sinned before you by not giving honor or even disgracing our parents, teachers, and rabbis. Now, Zilzal, I don't know if I never considered before, I wrote it in my own notes here, I don't know if you could see in the red, but Zilzal is from the word Zol. Zol means cheap. Something is Zol Ma'or, it's very cheap. So what we have done in essence in this sin is that we have cheapened our parents and our teachers, Zilzal Ha'or Ma'orim, to make them cheap. What is the way we do this? Either it's through speech primarily, through showing disrespect, lack of proper kavod, speaking about our Ha'orim Ma'orim to others. We'll be talking about Rabbanim. It doesn't have to necessarily be talking about your personal rabbi. It could be, you know, Rachman Otzon the Gadol Dor. It could be a rabbi of a different yeshiva. It could be your parents. It could be your ancestors. We already spoke about that the Sefer Chaim and Sefer Mavis Psuch in the fun of the Sefer Mavis refers to, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, those who have passed on to the Olam HaEmes, they are judged every year according to our actions. Zil Zohar Memor means to cheapen our rabbeim, our teachers, and our parents. Pathways to prayer teaches us. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin defines an apikoros as one who disgraces a Torah scholar. You find, unfortunately, today, especially with a plethora of online, I don't visit them, you shouldn't visit them. There's a plethora of online platforms that are not Torahdic, and they are full of Lashon Hara in regard to Rabbanim, mocking of Rabbanim, questioning Rabbanim. We have a mitzvah v'halachta bedrachav, and one of the interpretations is that v'halachta bedrachav is lihi badek b'talmidei chachamim. And typing Lashon Hara is also Lashon Hara. Typing leitzanos is also leitzanos, and that falls under the category of zilzuhur memorim, which is a sin of speech. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin defines an apikores as one who disgraces a Torah scholar. It is clear from the Gemara, as well as from the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that one who disgraces a Torah scholar and does not ask forgiveness from him has no share in the world to come. The Iyun Tefila writes that disgracing one's parents and teachers is the grandfather of all sins. Included in the obligation of honor is the requirement to stand up fully when one's father, mother, Torah teacher, or rabbi walks within 7 feet of him, even if he is learning Torah at that time. I'll tell you that in the biography of Malach in our midst, the biography of Harav Moshe Tversky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yinkom Damo, he was murdered in the Harnof Pigua, an Adam Gadol, and an unbelievable Talmud Chacham Gaon Olam, and it's recorded in the biography that when his mother, Dr. Tara Twersky, would come to visit from America, and he would be learning in the living room, wherever it was. He learned every single time she walked into the room. He stopped his learning and he stood up to his full height. Then she would have to leave the room for a second, then she would come back until she realized that she had to stop walking into the room because he would keep standing up from her and disturbing his learning. So Zilzuhorim Memorim is a body language, is a word that is cheapening our parents or our rabbeim, our leaders, our gedolim, or even typing something negative. This too transgresses the sin of Lashon Hara, Rechilus, and Motzi Shemra. Moving on, when we do not speak in a way that is befitting a Torah Yid, a Ben or Bas Yisrael, when we do not use Lashon Nekia, when we speak the forms of speech that we daven for in the Tefillah of a Dibur that we should not speak, whether it is Sheker, Chanufa, Mechlokes, Ka'as, Gaiva, Onas, Dwarim, Habanas, Ponim, Leitzanus, V'chol Dibur Aser. Ultimately, what we have created is a tremendous Chil Hashem, because we purport to be Torah Yidden, who keep Torah Mitzvos. How could it be that our mouths are not in tandem with this idea of living a Torah lifestyle? Chil Hashem. The Sefer Pathways to Prayer teaches this is the most severe transgression of all. The Gemara teaches, unlike other sins, the transgression of chilul Hashem. Chilul, if zilzu means to cheapen, chilul means to profane. Lechalal, someone who is mechalal at a Shabbat doesn't literally mean he transgressed the Shabbos, it means he profaned the Shabbos. What does it really mean? The root, going back to the root, is hollow. Rabbi Zavlov points out a chalil, a flute, is called a chalil because it is hollow. It's a hollow instrument. That's why a chalal basadeh, a corpse in the field, is a body that is hollow because its neshama is missing. So it's an empty shell. Someone who is mechalal Shabbos leaves Shabbos hollow, chas v'sham kaviyachal. He removes the kedusha from Shabbos by transgressing the mitzvah. Chilul Hashem, kaviyachal, as if such a thing were possible, is the idea of profanity, of, I can't even say it, but there's no such thing. But as if someone through his actions shows that the Ribbon Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, is Chilal. It's not possible, Kaviyachal, it can't be, but that's what we indicate with our actions. This is the most severe sin of all. You know, if someone who dresses Tzanu and sends her children to yeshiva, she looks like a wonderful person, and you go and have a conversation with her, and the whole conversation, or might be about Lashon Hara, or Ka'as, or Machlokas, or Sheker, or Leitzanus, can you enter to yourself, is that me? Is this a reflection of me? What kind of person is this? And we wonder, where does this fall? Well, it's certainly not a Kiddush Hashem. And if it's not a Kiddush Hashem, Rav Freifeld Zatzal from Shar Yashuv says, Zechut Tzadik Uvracha, there's no, quote, there's no such thing as a neutral action. There's no such thing as a neutral action. There's no such thing as a neutral action. It's not neutral. It's either one way or that way. Well, if it's not a Kiddush Hashem to speak like that, I need to use curse words, to speak with nivel peh. If it's not a Kiddush Hashem, it's not neutral. It's the other way. This is the most severe of all sins. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, you know, Yuma's about it, you know, Yom Kippurim, that unlike other sins, the transgression of Chilul Hashem is not fully atoned for until death, Misa. Even if one has done repentance, observed Yom Kippur, and been punished with suffering. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Pei Vav Amid Aleph, the Chilul Hashem is the worst transgression, and even if one did teshuva, observed Yom Kippur, and was punished with Yisurim, it's still not fully atoned until the Yom Misa. That's terrifying. Not scary, terrifying. However, Rabbeinu Yonah writes two ways in which one can be forgiven in this world for the terrible violation of Chilul Hashem. One, increasing his actions to sanctify the name of God. This makes sense. If there's no such thing as a neutral action, and you are also seeking Chilul Hashem, whether it's posting things that we should not have been posting, forwarding memes that we should not, you know, sometimes people forward, I mean, Baruch Hashem doesn't happen often. It's not sneeze, it is bad language, it's a joke and poor taste. It Lashon Hara is on the phone also. I don't know if anyone saw Family First this week. The cover story was about, is it five women, a number of women who read this book from the secular world, about how we're all addicted to our phones and made concrete attempts to diminish phone usage. So we cannot fool ourselves. Just because you didn't actually speak something, it doesn't mean you're free of the sin of Chilul Hashem. If your behavior on an online platform or through typing bespeaks Chilul Hashem. So what should we do if there's no such thing as a neutral action, says Rav Freifeld? If someone has been osek in Chilul Hashem, Rachmana Letzlan, and the Gemara tells us it's so severe that even if you did teshuvah, even if you've had Yom HaKippurim, which is the Day of Atonement itself, and even if you think that you are forgiven, and Rachmana Litzan, it's not atoned for Ad Misa. Barbeinu Yonah in Shari Teshuva writes that there are two ways you can have atonement. One, increase actions to make a Kiddush Hashem. Go do the hafach, do the opposite. By supporting and strengthening the truth corresponding to the amount of desecration he caused. So according to the amount of desecration, strive to make a Kiddush Hashem. And furthermore, by constantly thinking about Torah and exerting himself in Torah study. Quote, these are wonderful opportunities of hope for anyone who transgressed this sin. The Rambam writes, one form of Chilul Hashem is when a person whom people expect to act in an elevated manner does not act that way. When people see a from yid, they expect us to act in a certain way. If we do not act in a certain way, writes the Rambam, that is causing a Chilul Hashem. This is considered Hachil Hashem, and the Ali Shur, the great Rav Wolbe Zatzal, writes, when a yeshiva student leaves a yeshiva building, he should immediately be on guard that his action should not cause a Chil Hashem. That's true of every firm person. The minute you leave, I should say your bedroom, not even your house, The minute you come to interact with other people, the minute you start your day, we should always be thinking, are my actions a chil Hashem? Because it's either being mekadesh shem shemayim, you speak nicely, you speak with compliments, you use lashon nekiya, you don't post even the good news on the family chat if you anticipate that it could lead to a whole conversation of, you know, the tzana. So baruch Hashem, it's gevaldik. It wasn't posted. It's so gevaldik. First of all, the person who did it. Second of all, to the everyone who's osek in the shir. And third of all, to the family that sponsors it. It's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable schus. That's a tremendous kiddush Hashem. The hefech is a chilul Hashem, and we always have to be on guard, because this is a very, very grave, egregious sin that is directly related to sins of speech. Moving on. Look at this. It's unbelievable. There's even more connections. I could have gone through more of them. I found the connections to Shmir Salashon, but I knew that we would not have sufficient time, so I chose those achets that are particularly obvious and relevant to the sins of speech. For sins that we have spoken with impure, tumah on our lips. The Sefer Pathways to Prayer teaches, the Gemara Masecha Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Aleph, states, because of the sin of obscene language, nivol peh, many calamities and harsh decrees came upon Israel, and young people died. I did not look up the Gemara, by the way. I'm quoting from the Sefer Pathways to Prayer. The Gemara Masecha Shabbos Lamed Gimel Aleph states, because of the sin of obscene language, which falls under the breach of Shmiras Halashon, many calamities and harsh decrees came upon Israel, Rachmana Litzad, young people die. Furthermore, regarding anyone who defiles his mouth with such speech, even if it was decreed that he should have a good life, all coming up to the time where not it will be a kasiva, it will also be a chasima. Even if it was decreed he should have a good life, if he defiles his mouth with vulgar speech, it will change to bad, and he will descend to the depths of Gehenna, Chazal teach. The reason for the severity of this sin, making your lips tummy, is because one who defiles his mouth with obscene language has left the way of shame and modesty. Today, in the society in which we live, the general society, there is no thought given to profane speech. It is part of the everyday living, part of the culture, part of how people speak, type. It's in their entertainment, their music, their films, their books, their everyday speech with each other. We have to elevate ourselves over this. We cannot fall prey to the trap of galus. We are the Am HaNivchar and the Am Segula. We need to behave with our language and our mouth as if we are befitting of the role that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. The reason for the severity of this sin, Tumas Sifasayim, is one who defiles his mouth with obscene language has left the ways of shame and modesty. We are Baishanim. We are Rachmanim, Gomlei Chasadim, Baishanim. We are a bashful people, which are the recognized character traits of the Jewish people. That's as per Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Teshuvah. So someone who speaks with nivol peh has left the path of tznius and baishanus, and those are the recognized character traits of the Jewish people. The art school master teaches, much shorter, we have used improper language, tumas sifasayim. Because we fail to maintain dignity and self-respect, we do improper things. Vulgar language weakens self-discipline. Quote, vulgar language weakens self-discipline. This is very relevant and very important, because so much of being a yid is about self-discipline. When a husband and wife can be together, it's about self-discipline. When you can eat basar and then chalav, is about self-discipline. When you can have chametz in your house and not, is about self-discipline. So much that we do is about self-discipline. So if we defile our mouths, we give in to self-discipline. And then that can slowly have a domino effect, in fact, all our other avoda as well. Next, that's tumas sifasayim. The next one in my mouth, so again, I'm going in order of my mouth, so not the screen. That's why I'm jumping a little bit over here. Al-chei shechatan ufanecha betifshus peh. Tipesh. Tipesh is a foolish person, a stupid, person. We have made our mouths foolish. This is a long one. I don't have so much time here. Okay, let's go with this one. Pathways to prayer. This is an appropriate way to end today's year because we are quoting an excerpt from the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Shmiras Halashon. It is appropriate to quote here, says the Sefer, pathways to prayer from the Seili Chafetz Chaim on Tifshus Peh, Shmiras Halashon, Volume 2, Chapter 6. So says the Chafetz Chaim, a person whose life is dear to him should be careful not to waste it. Now we see nowadays, people are not prudent concerning this. Let us explain. If it were possible for a person to give away part of his life to a friend, did I skip a line? If it were possible for a person to give away part of his life to a friend, nevertheless, no one would do so. No one would give away a month or a week, and rightfully so, since there is nothing more precious than his time. And Rabbi Akiva teaches us, Chayecha Kodmin, your life comes first. Time, the limited amount of time that God granted man in his kindness, was granted to us, says the Chafetz Chaim, I'm still quoting the Chafetz Chaim, so we could earn eternal reward. However, quote, says the Chafetz Chaim, people who are not careful in their speech, knowingly and willingly squander a lot of time each day, sometimes even several hours. One of the things that the Mishpacha family first spoke about was an app to track screen usage. And these women said they were shocked to discover how much time was being wasted scrolling, posting, talking on their phones. What would the Chafetz Chaim say today? However, says the Chafetz Chaim, people who are not careful in their speech knowingly and willingly squander a lot of time each day, sometimes several hours. At least an hour each day goes to waste. And if he calculates, he will find in the course of a year, he has wasted over 350 hours. What should we say today when so much more time is the ability to so easily be wasted? Continuing with the Chafetz Chaim. Certainly, he has not gained any reward in the world to come for those idle words in the time that he wasted. And not even pleasure in this world. All he has achieved is a great void in Torah. Is there any foolishness greater than this? Tifshus peh. So that is from the great Chafetz Chaim Zatzal. In the Arch Gomach, so idle conversations involve foolish chatter, foolish, the chatter of fools, and broad, harmful statements based on rumors and lack of information. Compulsive chatter can have serious consequences. Service of God demands as much thought and planning of our speech as our personal and business affairs. Rabbi Yisrael, I never saw this before. Before I prepared this chair, I never saw this line. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, the first commandment is don't be a fool. Tifshus pet, tipesh. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, the first dibra, the foundation of Al Torah, the first thing you have to know is, don't be a fool. Don't be a tipesh. Many sins result simply from foolishness. So the chetz that we have gone through today, again, we said that the mamba mites at the highest level, the final stage of teshuva is vidui. We went through the chetz chatan fenecha bevitui sifasayim, the chetz chatan fenecha bedibur peh, the chetz chatan fenecha behonas rea, the chetz chatan fenecha bevidui peh, the chetz chatan fenecha bezilzul horim umorim, the chetz chatan fenecha bechilul hashem, the chetz chatan fenecha betumas sifasayim, the chetz chatan fenecha betifshus peh. But Ezra Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, should grant us in the coming year not only a kasiva v'chasima tova, and a shana tova that is both tova and mesuka, good and sweet, but tremendous alios and kochos to continue kiseise l'mechama oivecha, v'reisa sus v'rechav amrav mimcha. The Bali Musar says this is referring to the battle with the Yetzer Hara. We are in the battlefield with the Yetzer Hara, specifically in a realm that we are so prevalent to sin in. Even Miriam Hanaviah, Miriam Hatzadekas, there's no phallus. Zachar es asher hasa Hashem Elokecha. Not to remember Miriam's sin so much as to remember the consequences and what God did. should be granted a year of tremendous si'ata d'shmai, to have a constant aliyah in this realm. I think, let me see, one second. I think that we do we have a class before Yom Kippur? I don't know. I'm not sure. I really want a class for Yom Kippur so we could finish or I prepared and get to the rest of the... Okay, I'm going to be in touch with those I need to be in touch with. And we will see. I wish everybody a wonderful day. Ksiv v'chasima tova. Azchus aliyah neshama for Tzvi Gershom ben Yoav v'chana lav Hashem. And Zev Wolf ben Yishai lav Hashem. Besuras tovas. Kol tov and shana tova. Umesuka to all of you and your families. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuras tovas.